This morning will be in Luke chapter 1, verses 67 through the end of the chapter. So if you'd like to join me there, please do. Two weeks ago, we looked at Psalm 132, which is the psalm when, reflecting back when David brought the ark up to Jerusalem, and the reminder that God was faithful to David to provide him with the son that would reign. And then last week, we took some time to also look at the actual prophecy that was given to David back in 2 Samuel chapter 7. You have to realize that it's been 3,000 years until you've gotten to Luke 1 from 2 Samuel 7. Well, not quite. Sorry, too many years. Been over 1,000 years. There we go. I was thinking our time. It's been 3,000 years since our time. It's been over a thousand years probably since that time when Zechariah utters these words. So they've been waiting for a long time. And the promise of God, they were thinking that maybe it's this one, maybe it's that one, maybe it's the other one that's the Messiah. But Zechariah, when he goes up to the temple, he was a priest, so he was Levite, so he was serving in the temple. And if you'd like to follow along, I'd like to read verses 57 through 66 and then go on from there. Now the time was fulfilled for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. And her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had magnified his great mercy toward her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zechariah after the name of his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by this name." And they were making signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. And he asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they all marveled. And at once his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he began to speak, blessing God. And fear came on all those living around them, and all these matters were talked about in all the hill country of Judea. And all who heard these things put them in their heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For the hand of the Lord was indeed with him." So as you look at this, this is Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were promised a child. They have the child. He's John the Baptist. John is born. Zechariah says his name is going to be John. And then he begins blessing God. So those of you that have had children, on the day of the birth of your child, you're going to bless God for your child, right? Let's look at what Zechariah does. Verse 67. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he visited and accomplished redemption for his people and raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David, his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy toward our fathers and remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham, our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to make ready his ways, to give to his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to direct our feet into the way of peace." And the child continued to grow and become strong in spirit, and he lived in the desolate regions until the day of his public appearance to Israel. So here's a man, his child is born, and he praises the Lord for the child that's yet to be born, namely Jesus. So the first part of his eulogy, that's what the word blessing is, it's the word you, and then logos, or eulogy, so a good word is spoken. He is praising the Lord for the birth of Jesus, and then Zechariah praises him for the birth of his own son. And this shows his emphasis on his blessing and that it was for the Lord's good work that he promised to actually bring them redemption through this child that is to be born. Notice how often Zechariah quotes from the Old Testament. This is the house that John would be raised in. So he would be one that would be instructed in the ways of the Lord. He'd be instructed in the words of the Lord. And thus, you'll notice when he speaks, he also speaks quoting the Old Testament because he was familiar with it. Zechariah, verse 67, was filled with the Holy Spirit. back in chapter 1, verse 15, so back to verse 15, you find John was filled with the Holy Spirit while still in the womb. Verse 41, you find Elizabeth was filled with the Spirit. You get the impression this family was filled with the Spirit? Yes. They were guided and directed by the Holy Spirit. So he prophesies, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." So this is the Lord, so our Master God of Israel. Israel is a covenant name. So God is the covenant God. Yahweh is the covenant name. So the word translated Lord for us is Old Testament Yahweh. He is the covenant-keeping God. So although it has been 1,000 years since he uttered his prophecy to David, it is coming true in our very lifetime. Wouldn't it be amazing if the Lord's return came about in our lifetime? Here's his first advent, and then we'll look at the second advent later. But the first advent, here it is. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel. I have a few good words to say to the Lord. And I think that's an important thing, that at Christmas we do take the time to bless the Lord, to say something good about him. And Zechariah gives us things to be thankful for or to bless his name, to say a good word. First of all, he has visited us with salvation. The word for visit is to look after something and to make an appearance in order to help. So he appeared in order to help us and to bring about our redemption, our deliverance, our liberation. In Luke chapter 2, verse 38, you'll find Simeon and also Anna. And at that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak to him, all those who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So one of the things that we can do is we can say, "Merry Christmas, the Lord has accomplished redemption for you." What a great gift. Delivered you from your area of slavery. Slavery to sin. Slavery to self. He has set us free. And we can bless him for that. Zechariah continues on. "And has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us." So here you have, we're blessing the Lord. He's blessing the Lord for his salvation. He's raised up a horn. The horn was a ram's horn. It was a symbol of strength, so it can be the strength that would bring about the salvation. But that ram's horn was also used to put oil in to anoint a king. So it can have the idea of the anointed one or the Messiah. Interesting in the Old Testament that when you look at individuals that were anointed, it was a king that was anointed, a prophet was anointed, and a priest was anointed. And what is Jesus? Prophet, priest, and king. And so I believe more of the emphasis here instead of power is anointed one. So he has raised up an anointed one to bring salvation to us. And this anointed one is in the house of David, his servant. So this is the fulfillment of the prophecy and the promise and the oath and the covenant that was given in 2 Samuel 7. Jesus is of the tribe of Judah, and he is the promised one. So Zechariah obviously is speaking about Jesus here. He's not speaking about his own son, John, because John was of the tribe of Levi. "As he spoke, Lord is faithful." And so here he quotes from Psalm 106. But the thing that we can be thankful for this Christmas, a gift that we have received from Jesus himself, from God himself, is that he has raised up his Messiah in order to bring us salvation. I think that's one of the greatest gifts you've got. So great a salvation we have. Thanks be to God for the indescribable gift of his Son. So we say, "Merry Christmas, the Lord has raised up his Messiah to bring us salvation," and therefore we bless him for this. Jesus is indeed the promised Son of David. He will both save and reign, first advent and second advent. Zechariah continues on, blessing the Lord because he has spoken salvation for our enemies and to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, verse 72. So we bless the Lord for his mercy, his kindness, his concern for those that are in need. You and I were in need, and God sent his son for us. What great mercy. And Zechariah looks back and he's shown mercy to our fathers. He's been a merciful God all of these years. And he continues to be a merciful God. And so we rejoice over the gift of mercy that God has given to us. And we bless him for that. I hope as you see, we go through this, that there are a lot of Christmas gifts that God gave us. Many that we can give thanks for. All of them that we can give thanks for. Then he continues on, and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. So he is faithful. He remembered his covenant to Abraham. Why go all the way back to Abraham? Again, look at how Zechariah is thinking. He blesses the Lord because Jesus is from the tribe of Judah. He's David's descendant. He blesses the Lord because Jesus is Abraham's descendant. What do you find? Abraham was promised a seed. David was promised a seed, an offspring. Who is that seed? Jesus himself. And that's why Matthew 1, if you look at Matthew 1, verse 1, Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Pulling in all those genealogy, all the faithfulness that God has shown through the years. And he's brought that about. He's been faithful to his word. He will be faithful to his word to us. And therefore, we give him thanks for his mercy that he's shown to us, but also we bless him for his faithfulness. He remembered his covenant to give Abraham a son and to give David a son, and that is Jesus. Verses 74 and 75, to grant us, grant is give, so he gave to us, that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness before him all our days. So we bless the Lord for rescuing us. He rescued us from the hand of our enemy. This is going to take you all the way back to Genesis 3, verse 15. Who's our enemy? Satan. One day he will crush Satan's head. But he delivered us out of the domain of darkness, out of Satan's kingdom. Hallelujah. I mean, what a great gift. He granted to us that we might be rescued from the hand or the control of our enemy. What does Jesus say to the Pharisees? You are of your father, the devil. That's who our father was by nature. But God redeemed us. He rescued us from danger, out of the control of our enemies. For what reason? That we might serve him without fear. Not so that we could just serve him, because that's what we have to do, but freely, without fear of retribution because we didn't do it right, out of fear because I didn't keep the law perfectly, or out of fear because I did this or that, didn't do that or whatever. He wants us to freely serve him, willingly. The word for might serve can also be translated worship. We can worship God without fear. See, the pagan people, when they worship gods, they're always afraid of what their gods are going to do to them. And so they serve out of fear instead of out of love. We serve out of love. And we serve in holiness and in righteousness. Dedicated to the service of the Lord and doing what is right before him all of our days. Our entire life we can serve him. Which means that even when you get older, you're still serving him, even to the point of death. Up until the moment that the grave welcomes you, which welcomes your body, not you, you can still serve him. You never get kicked to the curb, as some people like to say, because you got old. God still uses you. So we bless the Lord because he has rescued us from the domain of Satan. We bless the Lord because he has given us the privilege of serving him. It's a privilege. And we bless him for that. Now, Zechariah transitions to speaking about his son, John. And he says, and you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go on before the Lord to make ready his ways. This is an astounding statement. So he's speaking about his child. He has his child, John. He says, you'll be called the prophet of the Most High. Not of one of the high ones, but the one who is truly God, the God of gods, the one that is above all man-made gods. And then what does he say? For you, John, will go before who? Go ahead, you can look, verse 76. It's okay to look in your Bibles. For you will go on before. Wow. So who is Jesus? You're going to go prepare the way before somebody. Who are you going to go prepare the way before? The Lord. Zechariah realizes that Jesus is none other than God himself. You're going to go on before the Lord to make ready his ways, his paths. You're going to go announce his coming. You'll be in the wilderness. You'll be saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And you're preparing the way for the Lord. To give to his people the knowledge of salvation. So John will make known the salvation that the Lord has provided to his people. And that goes back to the salvation that was mentioned earlier, that he might save us. And this salvation provides forgiveness of sins. So ultimately, what are we being saved from? Our sins. You know, that's a great thing. Every day leading up to Christmas, Christmas thereafter, and every day of your life, we can bless the Lord that we have forgiveness of sin. Even when we still sin, we have forgiveness of sin. Why? Because he is faithful and just. And that when we sin, if we confess it, he, what? Forgives it. Forgiveness was found in a person. And that's in Jesus himself. Forgiveness of sins. And why does he forgive our sins? Because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. The word tender is the Greek word for your innards, your guts. So where does the mercy of God come from? It's not perfunctory. It's deep felt. It comes from his very inner being. And Hosea 11, he says, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I surrender you, O Israel? How can I give you over to be like Admah? How can I make you like Zeboim? My heart is turned over within me. All my compassions are stirred. That's the Lord looking at his sinful people, the northern kingdom, Israel. He says, every part of me is stirred up. I cannot let you go. As sinful as we are, and as deserving to be thrown from the presence of God, all of his inward self is stirred up and says, I need to have mercy on these people. I need to have mercy on you, on me. And then he continues on, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. Okay, that's kind of an interesting statement. The sunrise from on high. According to Zechariah here, where did Jesus come from? From on high. What's that tell you? He didn't come from Mary. He came from on high, which means he was eternally existing before his birth. The concepts that Zechariah has here in his blessing are just amazing. He knows that he will be God. He knows that Jesus will be God. He knows that he is coming down from on high. And then the title that he uses for him, again, he says he will visit us, and that has the idea of visiting to help. But he's called the sunrise. What does the sunrise indicate? A new day. A new day has begun. And he is bringing that new day. That's why it's called the day of the Lord. The old is passing away. The new has come. He is here. The new day is dawning. How exciting is that for 1,000 years to be living in darkness? And you see daybreak finally. You know, when Paul was traveling on the boat and they were in troubled waters in Acts 27 or so. And what were they longing to see? It says, for many days we never saw the sun. You're in this horrible storm. You're being cast this way and that way and every which way. You think you're going to die because the waves are coming up over. You're throwing everything off the boat trying to just save yourself. And then the day comes. The daylight breaks. And that's what Jesus does. He brings a new day. Isn't that what we've all experienced? We live in the darkness. That's why he says here, to shine upon those who sit in darkness in the shadow of death. We were sitting there in the shadow of death in the darkness. And he shined upon us. And it was a new day for us. Isn't that what Paul says in 2 Corinthians? Right? Behold, new things have come. It's a new day. Old things have passed away. New things have come. He illuminates us. He shows us. He directs our way, our feet, into the way of peace. And so not only does he come, but he come to provide forgiveness of sin, but also to direct us in the way that we should go. And what is that way? It's a way that brings you peace. And yes, there is the peace with God, but this is the peace of God also. Every day, what Jesus Christ does for you is he continually leads you in a way that brings peace to your soul. As Sean read from Isaiah 9, what's he called? The Prince of Peace. So we celebrate Christmas, that the Lord has given us the knowledge of salvation, that he's given the knowledge of salvation to us, and therefore we bless him for that. We also are thankful for the gift because the Lord has provided the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus. We bless him for that. Another gift the Lord has given us is that he has shown his tender mercy to you and to me. From his very inward being, that mercy came to you and me. Being rich in mercy because of that great love with which he has loved us. And so we're thankful for the mercy that he has shown to us. We bless him for that. And then we also bless him because in Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah, we have peace. No longer are we enemies with God, but we are now adopted into his family. I mean, it's one thing to just kind of forgive somebody and set them aside, but to welcome them in and to reaffirm your love to them and to bring them in and grant them the same standing as your son, Jesus Christ, that's what we have in him. And therefore, we bless him for the peace that we have. We may not have a bunch of stuff that we get this year on Thursday or whichever day you do that. But you know what? On the first Christmas, we were blessed with things that last forever. And things that can be enjoyed from day after day. Jesus, the Son of David, was born not only to save us from our sins, but also to deliver us from our enemy. Jesus has and will crush Satan's head because he is the seed of the woman, he is the seed of Abraham, he is the seed of Judah, and he is the seed of David. He is the promised seed. And the marvel of it is that, as Paul tells us, that he will crush Satan's head under our feet. We who sinned such that he had to die for us, he is going to include us in his victory over our enemy. So at Christmas, Jesus is the one who we worship. He is the one that we bless, and not only at Christmas, but every day. But Christmas reminds us of what came in that small package that one day. And Zechariah remembers it, he rehearses it through Scripture, and he blesses, he says a good word to the Lord. I would encourage you sometime during your celebration to say a good word to God, to bless him for the gift that he's given to you. And the gifts that came with that gift, namely his son. I'll end by just saying all of those gifts are found at the base of the tree of Calvary. So if you're looking for gifts under the tree, that's where you find them. And as the centurion said, who was at the base of the cross, truly this is the Son of God. and he is the one that we celebrate. May you have a Merry Christmas, and may you rejoice over the goodness of what God has given to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you.